Welcome to Paper Money, the biweekly podcast covering the business side of the game industry, from Twilight Struggle to Tactica, GMT Games to Z-Man Games. I'm Ben Clark.
And I'm Rhett Kipp.
Today is March 19th, 2010. And Rhett, let's just move right into the news this week. Big news this week. Rhett, do you want to say, put a headline on it?
Catalyst in trouble. Yeah. Reported by the Purple Pawn.
That's right. And a Purple Pawn did a good job of conglomerating a lot of the rumor and speculation floating around on the internet. And Catalyst Games has since responded, but it sounds like there's some money trouble over at Catalyst Game Labs. Let me just read you some of the straight dope here from the Purple Pawn website. Basically, Adam Jury and Jennifer Harding have left Catalyst. Those are two of the right. Would you call them principals?
I would call them management team. I would call them keys. Okay. I wouldn't call them principals.
And also, I believe David Garner Stencil has left the company. And in Catalyst's response, by the way, also there's some indication that some freelancers have said the payments are running behind. Now, what Catalyst has said is that basically owner funds became commingled with company funds, and they're trying to get that straightened out, and that they are restructuring their accounting procedures and some other things. But Rhett, I know this puts you in a tough spot because you do have some affiliation with Catalyst. Can you say anything at all on this story?
Well, you know, what I will say about it is that there's a lot of people with a lot of integrity still over at Catalyst, which to me indicates that whatever occurred was viewed by a number of important people as an accident as opposed to an intentional problem. You know, now, obviously, there's some questions here. And you know, I look at people like Jennifer and Adam, who I both respect very highly on their decisions, David as well. You know, they divorced themselves from the situation for personal reasons. And, you know, and there's, like I say, there's those people who have stayed. And, you know, there's still enough of the core people who are there. I think this now just comes down to a question of finances. You know, are they able to economically continue to move forward? Got great product. They, you know, they sell when they come out. It's a question of, will they be able to produce product fast enough?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and that's kind of the gist of what I got, is that it doesn't, there seems to be no malice on the part of the folks involved, but they do seem to be upset enough to be leaving the company. So again, we'll keep an eye on that situation. Haven't heard anything new. That just came up really Tuesday and Wednesday, and so we don't have a lot of perspective on that story yet, but again, that's one that we're going to be following closely. And moving from Catalyst to another company that's having some problems, this one, by the way, we should come up with a theme, I think, for Upper Deck, because they're in our news so often. They've replaced Toys R Us, really, as our most quoted news company. Upper Deck recently announced that it has settled its lawsuit brought against it by Major League Baseball. I'm going to find this amusing, by the way. The settlement allows Upper Deck to continue selling baseball cards as long as it doesn't put team names or logos on the new cards. This, however, is not enough to forestall major changes at the company. ICV2 reports that Upper Deck has instituted significant layoffs, primarily in the entertainment division. Upper Deck explained that the changes are part of a reorganization intended to make the company, and I quote, more efficient and better positioned going forward, end quote. Which, by the way, as someone who's a 10-year veteran of the IT industry, having worked at many startups, more efficient and better positioned going forwards means smaller and making less money. Rhett has no comment on that.
Red has no comment. I don't really have much more to say about Upper Deck.
I just want to know how you can sell baseball cards that doesn't have team names or logos on them. I mean, I know you can do a deal separately with the Major League Baseball Players Association and use their the players' names. Yeah. But I don't know how you do this without names or logos on the cards. You know, if I'm a kid and I'm buying this baseball card, hell, if I'm a collector and I'm buying this baseball card, it doesn't strike me as a particularly speedy seller.
No, I don't I don't see that it's going to be very profitable, relatively speaking. You know,
but it'll be more efficient and better positioned going forward.
yes, it will.
More efficient products, though. There's no logos on these cards. They're much more efficient that way.
They're cleaner.
That's right. Much cleaner design.
Yes, that's one of the terms I love to hear used.
That's right. And finally, again, not to pick on Upper Deck, they've made their bed and they get to lie in it a bit. But this one is our last news story. This one much smaller, I guess, really than the first two coming up this week, is a kerfluffle about MMP's King Philip's War. Multiman Publishing has put a game about King Philip's War up on their it's sort of their version of the GMT's P500, and. But anyways, King Philip's War, not even out yet, and at least three whole Native Americans are upset about the upcoming game, King Philip's War, from Multiman Publishing, because they're apparently unaware of the fact that game does not equal trivializing. Those are Purple Pawn's words, not mine. Source is not entirely appalling, but not very illuminating either. I'm not sure how these guys found out about the game or how large a group of people were upset about it. Again, that's a quote from the Purple Pawn. I read the Source story on this, and I have to say it's very obvious that neither the reporter nor the folks representing the American Indian tribes quoted were familiar with the concept of a historical simulation. I think they really did think of game and thought of Monopoly.
I could see that, or a standard card game or some other whatever format that you would normally see, and who knows, maybe a pinball game for all they know. I could respect why you would get upset if you thought that was the case. As you point out, I don't really think they're very informed on this, and it really isn't a large group of people here either.
No, I think it's certainly a tempest in a teacup. It sounds like it's a historical simulation. It's not trivializing genocide or anything like that any more so than playing Third Reich or Axis and Allies trivializes the horrors of World War II in more recent times.
It hasn't been pointed out here, or has been pointed out here, that it's only a few people. There's no tribe involved in this. No tribe has taken personal offense to it, which is usually the level that most of these get into. I mean, when the Lakota get mad over something you've done, the Lakota come back as a tribe and talk to you about it.
Mm-hmm. No tribe has officially said anything. I was just very surprised. But anyways, we're spending a lot of time talking about this one because it's not Upper Deck or Catalyst. Actually, I feel feel like we're talking about the one that's trivial because there's an elephant in the room,
Well, that was supposed to be the last news story of the week. However, shortly after Rhett and I got done recording the podcast, we got a press release in from Mayfair. So let me go ahead and read this to you. Mayfair Games and Academy Games are excited to announce an agreement with Mayfair Games to provide sales, marketing, and fulfillment services for Academy Games. Consolidating these functions through Mayfair Games will allow Academy Games to focus on developing additional titles for the award-winning Conflict of Heroes game series and to publish other games in development. Now, I was talking with these guys at last year, 2009 Gen Con, back in August, and they were working on this deal even then. So it's good to see it's finally coming out. And I think it's an excellent deal. It doesn't state that Mayfair is going to be doing any of the production duties for Academy, but it's going to be handling everything else, the sales, marketing, and fulfillment. That allows you, Eichert, to focus on the development of his games. And Academy's a small company. It's basically you and I believe his son. And so this is going to fob off the rest of the stuff onto Bob McCarty and Mayfair. And if you know anything about Bob McCarty, longtime historicals guy, loves the historical game, so it's a good fit. For him personally, but more to the point, it's also a good fit for Academy goes and Mayfair, right? It fits right in there with what they're doing with Phalanx as well. So, again, interesting news just came in, and now back to the rest of the show.
And Rhett, what do we have this week?
Reader's mail.
Message for
yes,
you,
that's
huh?
right. We have reader's mail.
Yay! Or at least yay, listener mail. Yeah. We're very excited.
We are very excited.
Actually, we have a voicemail this week too, which I'm going to play at the end of the episode because it's another robo phone call.
All right.
So we have voicemail kind of, and some email. So go ahead, run with it.
Well, this comes from Alan Kaiser, and Alan came in through our.
He emailed us at papermoney@purplepawn.com.
Thank you. Hey guys, thanks for the great podcast. I listened to a number of last five issues and love the angle that you bring to the gaming community. I also love that you cover the entire gaming community and not just one aspect of it. Minis, Euros, War Games, CCGs, etc., etc. I played them all and love them, and it's nice to see someone to cover them all. I've got some comments on some of your stuff you guys have said, and I'll follow it up with a topic I'd love to see you guys dig into the future. Alan has a lot, and we will be returning
Alan,
to this.
Thank you. Yeah, Alan wrote a very lengthy email, which we would love to do in its entirety. However, we try and keep the show between 30 and 40 minutes long, and it really was a long, very well thought out email, by the way, on a lot of things. But we're going to focus on what he said about.
We're going to talk about this week his sales figures question. I've been seeing people saying that there was a 1% to 4% sales increase in board games for the last 5 months, but in the end, what does this really mean? For the big game sellers, I'm sure it adds up that it actually does mean something, and for the little publishers, it probably means they won't be in the red for the year. For game stores, it likely means that they might not go out of business in the next 6 months. Maybe. But I've been heavily following games and gaming for the last 10 or more years, and I can't remember a time when there was a big drop in sales. It always seems like there's a slight increase year to year. But you hear of a game store after game store closing year after year as well. So, you know, really his question is, what does this, you know, how does this impact the brick and mortars? And the fact of it is that, you know, if the question is, do the general sales affect the brick and mortars, or is it like most stores in the U.S., you know, 60% of independent retail goes out of business every year. And frankly, you know, I don't know that that's ever changed in our industry. We haven't had any big purges like we've seen the years that the CCGs collapsed.
That would have been the late 90s. And then when comics collapsed in the early 90s.
In the early 90s, which, well, actually about the mid 90s. But it nearly, you know, when that happened, it took out something like 80% of all comic retailers. And frankly, when the CCGs collapsed, what it did is it collapsed.
80%?
I mean, 80%.
That's huge.
That was enormous. Thank you, Marvel.
I would have said it was when Marvel went direct, I knew that things had gotten bad, but I didn't know 80%. I would have thought maybe 30 to 40%.
The fallout at the end, the numbers I'd heard were 80%. It was pretty crazy. You know, the problem was that they had just cut everybody off. They made it very difficult. They demolished distribution as they knew it, et cetera, but trying to get off topic there, off the comics for a moment and go back into the games, you know, with the CCG demise, and, you know, we didn't see a collapse of CCGs. We just saw a level shift. It went from, you know, this ridiculous level where you could find a CCG in your local gas station back down to the people who actually did this as a business. And, you know, again, it comes back to good business people stayed in business. People who didn't focus their entirety around the newest trendy thing survived all this. You know, and that, I think, always is pretty much what it comes down to with games. You know, locally, I know of numbers of stores who devote themselves towards a very specific niche part of the market. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if somebody else moves in that broadens that, or if they get direct competition from a manufacturer, they're quickly out of business over that situation.
Now, see, I'm gonna take, I guess, slightly different takes on what you just said, and one kind of agrees with what you're saying, and I'll save that to finish up with, but. One of the things that I think it's important that we talk about increases in game sales, and in particular, game sales sales increases that involve curly numbers. Okay, not just one, you know, curly numbers, twos, threes, fours, fives, you know, and even double digit in some places. It's important that we talk about that because we're looking at a growing market, in an otherwise in a stale category. Okay, toys in general has been really flat the last couple of years. Game sales, it powered largely at this point, I would say, by board games and card games, has been an engine of growth, right? So if you're in the toy sector, you want to make sure you carry Legos and Euros. But that's one of the things that I think it's important to point to. And in a down economy and in a flat sector, right, we've been talking about video game sales being down 20 to 30% in some cases. In a down segment, we're still seeing growth in a category. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's significant to point out, even if individually, right, the rising tide is not floating all boats. And you can't just put out Warhammer and the latest comic books and expect that that's going to work 100% of the time.
You know, absolutely. And, you know, we do see, like I've said before, when we're talking about the comics, we see the comic stores dabble in games, but for the most part, there's no one out there offering assistance. If a comic store goes into games, he's on his own. He asks a little bit of what sells well, but if they don't have any knowledge and they aren't hiring anyone who has knowledge of that, they really can't go anywhere with it. It pretty much is the same. And the reverse would apply to a game store. You know, if a game store tried to go into comics and had no knowledge of comics, it wouldn't take them very long at all to get themselves in trouble with that section.
So,
yeah, and, you know, there's a little bit longer shelf life, obviously, to games than there are to comics. But, again, the question is knowledge. I don't want to dissuade anyone from opening up a store. The answer is, if that's your choice, the good thing. But like with all things, a lot of knowledge is very useful. Educate yourself on it. Find out what product lines are out there. Go to the shows that we've talked about before. Yeah. If you're thinking of going into retail, talk to manufacturers. Most manufacturers will actually be happy to talk to you to a certain extent and have a lot of programs to help promote their product lines.
Overall, this is a good indicator, I think, as to the health of the market. Even with, the RPGs down a bit, certainly AD&D 4th Edition is down a bit. Even with Magic the Gathering being down a bit, games as a category are growing, and this is, you know, we need to pay attention to that fact. In that games are, in fact, if we play our cards right, as, you know, people in the industry, we can make money. But again, rising tide doesn't float all boats. Alan points out later in the letter, he says, and something we've pointed out before, Rio Grande and Mayfair are posting much larger gains than the small companies. FFG is doing much better than the guy who's only got one or two products. But again, that's always the case. But if you're the small guy and you realize that the market is expanding, you can tap into that.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've seen people like AEG enter into this market who had primarily been nothing more than a, you know, an RPG company. And
I heard they did a CCG once, too.
they did a couple of CCGs, and, their CCG is probably the only other one along with Magic that still makes people money. But they're, you know, as I said, their general thing now is that they're expanding into the new general interest market game. They've come out with the living card game. They've come out with a number of board games, and they've done that over the past few years. And it's showing, you know, that's showing some good sales for them and showing, you know, giving them a nice steady position in the market. And, you know, again, we're seeing more and more people approaching this and entering into the field. And going back to the sales figures, you know, why it's a wonder, you know, like we say, it may only be a 1-4% increase in sales. That compares extremely favorably to, you know, 20%, 40%, 50% drops in sales in some areas. Stability is a really good thing. I still think that, you know, we're looking at a growth area.
I agree. And to, to tie this whole thing together, first, actually, before we go into our interview segment, which will tie the whole thing together, Rhett, how can they get a hold of us?
Well, you can contact us, and we would love to hear from you. At either emailing us at papermoney@purplepawn.com, and I'll spell that for you, PURPLEPAWN.com, or you can Skype us at papermoneypodcast, or you can phone us at 773-634-9377. Purple Pawn is so much easier to spell.
You know, it's got the alliteration thing going for it, too. So, anyways, our interview this week is with Richard Gottlieb of USA Toy Experts. Richard has been around the industry, in his own words, as you'll hear, quote, more years than I care to recall, end quote. But we talked with Richard about the state of games and the overall trend that Alan was asking about in the larger market. So let's go right now to our interview with Richard Gottlieb. We're here with Richard Gottlieb of USA Toy Experts. Richard is a longtime consultant in the toy and game industry. Richard, thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
Excellent. And so, Richard, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background in the toy and game industry and what USA Toy Experts does?
I have been in the toy industry for too many years. And over the course of that time, I've had several management positions. Came out of sales originally. Then went back and got my MBA and really expanded my breadth of knowledge. So I try to be an eternal student of the toy industry and try to talk to as many people who are in both leadership positions and people who are out there in the field who have direct contact with buyers and consumers, et cetera. Just to try to get a sense of where the industry is, has been, and where it's going. I consult with toy manufacturers in the United States and Europe who want to expand their brand equity and their business. And in general, am a sounding board for many of them in determining what decisions they're going to make.
Excellent, excellent. Well, and now I have to confess, I'm also an avid reader of your blog over on playthings.com. So thank you for putting some of your knowledge out there for free for us. One of the things I wanted to ask you about was, and I'm sure you've read the NPD Group report on the game industry that came out just before Toy Fair. And one of the things that NPD Group said was game and puzzle sales were up 1% last year. Now, puzzle sales were down substantially, and by substantially, I mean they were curly numbers. I don't think they were double digit, but they were down a several percent. And but meaning that games were up a substantial percentage in terms of to grow that category. Do you think that's a broad trend or a long lasting trend, or do you think that's one that's going to fade as the economy improves and people shift back into the more traditional toy or video game market?
It's a great question, and the answer to that is really that there's the toy industry in general runs in cycles. There are micro cycles that shift pretty much year to year. And if you watch the industry, you'll see a particular category will be up and then it'll decline and be up again, usually by several points, not a lot. Mm-hmm. But there's also a mega cycle that takes place. And you just mentioned video games, and we're in a video game mega cycle right now. Because in their cycle, it's usually launched by them coming out with some kind of new video gaming hardware that launches the software. And we are really at the end of a cycle, and that's gone on for probably about 8 years. In the board game business, I think it's really interesting. I think looking at the cycles, I think in part puzzles being down is a short cycle. Mm-hmm. And I don't see any major mega cycle affecting puzzles, but I do with games. I think games are up, one, because you're correct. In part, it's because of the recession. But I think there's some other factors in play. If you had talked to me a couple years ago, you would have found me kind of down on games because I felt that Hasbro in particular had become so invested in its evergreen properties and monetizing those as much as possible that we had gotten to a point where I called the monopoly. When you would walk into a game department and you would see iteration after iteration of Monopoly, mm-hmm. Yeah, to the point where Monopoly was no longer a game, it was a collectible. When that happens, that may have been good for Hasbro for a while, but it was really bad for the game business. Because stop and think for a minute. Suppose when you went to the bookstore 20% of the books in the store were all dummies books or were all variations on Gone with the Wind. Mm-hmm. After a while, you quit going.
Right. Well, that's so, you know, as someone, by the way, who has done some printing for USAopoly, I have to say that I do agree with you. There's only so many versions of Monopoly you can own, whether or not it's got Spider-Man on the cover or the Beatles.
I think that I would love to see, and I'm not being facetious, I think it belongs in a collectibles department, because I don't think people buy them to play. They buy them because they know somebody who loves kitties, you know. Yeah. Or somebody who loves the Beatles or whatever and gives them that version. But here's what I think happened. I think that the consumers strongly responded to these Euro version games because it was different and it was new and it wasn't Monopoly. And as a result, we found that companies like Rio Grande Games were really picking up business with Settlers of Catan, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so part of this, I really believe, is a reaction to what had become a very dumbed-down game department. Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing just a revitalization of the entire game business. So I think that's part of a mega cycle.
Interesting. That was something that I had considered was the mega cycle. And it's interesting that you point out too that after talking with Mike Gray at Hasbro, Mattel seems to have after having kind of given up the game aisle for a long time is kind of moving back in. But Mike Gray was talking about some of the stuff that they've done in the last couple of years, like Picturica and some of the stuff that I think is coming out next year, and it's smartened up. It's different. It's some neat new stuff that they're doing. That's not just pink Monopoly, you know, for girls or something like that. So,
correct.
Now, one of the things that you've been kind of big on is the return of the game department to stores like Sears. And
oh yeah.
Now, do you really think that I've not heard any news from Sears and some of the companies that were kind of reintroducing toy departments over Christmas. Do you think we're back to seeing toys and games as something that's going to be in more places rather than just Walmart and Toys R Us?
Well, here's some really good news. Sears test program, which was 20 stores last year, is expanded to 100 this coming year. So it worked.
Okay.
And they've got management in place and top management in place, and they've got very good people at Sears overseeing this. So look for a growth in the Sears toy business. Barnes & Noble put a wonderful adult game and puzzle test program in the flagship store on 86th Street in New York, and it was highly successful. And so they are now rolling that out to the chain, and those buyers over there are working really hard because it's a very prosperous area for them of growth. Because realize, if you're in the book business right now, you're getting cannibalized by e-commerce, e-books, and so they're looking for alternative formats. So I would suggest anybody who's a game manufacturer should really be looking at their local bookstore.
Yeah, you know, that's no. When I do printing for folks, I always tell them they should talk to PSI and try and get into the book trade because it's a great outlet, you know, and they're easy to find. You know, it's so hard to find sometimes some of the niche market stores that are going to pick up a new product, but Barnes & Noble will carry something different and they'll carry it. You know, and they've got enough stores to make it worth your while.
Well, remember, gaming is a form of literacy. And it teaches us a lot in terms of how to follow rules. And in the case of indoor board games, if you learn how to follow the rules, you can eventually become on the Supreme Court because you got to figure out what happens based on the rules when there's a dispute. So games are important.
I see you've played games with Rhett and I.
It's a common problem.
Yeah. But, well, now let me ask you this, unless, Rhett, did you have anything you want to jump in on? I apologize, I'm kind of monopolizing.
No, go right ahead.
Oh, excellent. All right. I love it when I get to talk. Now, one of the things that Rhett and I have been going back and forth about has been 2010, we think, is going to continue a lot of the trends we saw in 2009. We think that board games are going to continue to grow. We're probably going to see video game sales, you know, I won't say deteriorate further. You know, the toy constructibles, the Legos and things like that are still going to continue their outstanding growth. But in 2011, we have some disagreement over where we think the market's going to go. I think unless there is a breakout game hit of some type, I think we're going to see a stabilization or a contraction in the game market. And I think we're going to start to see, that's when we start to see with the economy getting better, that some of the other sales are gonna take place. Are you looking that far ahead? I know Hasbro was showing some of their 2011 stuff at Toy Fair. What do you think is going to happen a year from now?
I think I'd go back to what we were talking about in the beginning of the conversation, which is the microcycle and mm-hmm. the macrocycle. And I think from a microcycle standpoint, you may be right. You know, if you have some strong advances in a given year, you may see a peel off on that in the following year. On the other hand, from a macro sense, I think we're going to see long-term growth in board games. And I think we're going to see a long-term decline in the traditional video game.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Richard, I want to thank you very much for your time. I know you've got to run and catch a meeting shortly. And I hope to catch up with you at the next trade show.
Well, it was greatly enjoyable for me, and I would invite your listeners to come check out my blog at Out of the Toy Box, which is called Out of the Toy Box on playthings.com.
Excellent, excellent. And again, Rich's company is USA Toy Experts. If that's something you think you can use, it's usatoyexperts.com. And thanks again, Richard.
Take care.
Bye-bye. And that was our interview with Richard Gottlieb of USA Toy Experts. And if you want to go to Rich's website, again, as I mentioned in the interview, usatoyexperts.com. Rich is at most of the major shows. You can recognize him from his picture at the on the Out of the Toy Box blog over on playthings.com. An excellent source of news. We've used Rich for some sources many times before. So, again, thank you very much, Rich, for letting us interview you. And upcoming stuff. Oh, we've got all sorts of fun coming up. Next week is the Gamma Trade Show, which should be really interesting for the folks at Catalyst Game Labs and Upper Deck who are going to be attending the show. So, but again, not a lot of news coming out this week about products. I think you're going to see a fairly light announcement schedule at Gamma. The only game of significance that I know of coming out around this time actually is Dominion is supposed to be out in a couple weeks, the new Dominion Alchemy expansion.
As far as new things are concerned, yeah, I don't really
new things that are gonna yeah that get sold right away.
Yeah, I was gonna say that are gonna be immediately available. Yes, however, I do expect that we're gonna hear quite a lot of important information in the next few weeks about upcoming products. You know, Gamma does pretty much reveal everything through the end of 2010 for most of the game manufacturers.
Correct, and so hopefully now, Rhett, you're gonna be in Las Vegas.
I will not, actually.
Okay.
Families have come up, and I'm not going to be able to attend this year.
Dang. So, you know, I was going to book a flight back when I could get a flight and a hotel room package for like $355. And I thought, No, Rhett's going. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pass on it this year. Rats. So.
Yeah, you probably don't want to book right now, as the last time we were looking at airfares, they were between the $600 and $700.
Yeah.
Level.
Yeah. So, okay. All right. So you're not going to be something a gambler.
About spring break and you know, the final four and the, you know, Sweet 16 and all those fun things that go along with March Madness.
There you go. We'll do that. And then, you know, take a couple of $20 bills, crisp, right out of the ATM, and just hand them to a random stranger. And it'll be just like going to Vegas.
It'll be just like going to Vegas. Well, actually, no, because you'll not have that moment of excitement where you thought maybe something good will happen.
You've never tried to give a stranger $40 in downtown Chicago.
Well, that's true. I have not actually tried to give a stranger $40 in downtown Chicago. I know the response generally that way.
Other than the panhandlers. All right. Anyways, well, I had a bunch of that stuff out, I think.
Yes. You know, I was really disappointed I'm not going to Gamma, because I really think that this year's Gamma show is going to have a lot of cool announcements.
See, this is what I was saying. Right?
I don't think there's going to be any groundbreaking stuff in the sense of we're not going to see Magic. Okay.
No, we're not going to see Magic, but we're seeing a return to systems, a house system for a
game. Seeing, Yeah, I was going to say, but I also think there's some new innovative stuff coming out mm-hmm. this year, which, like I say, is going to be nice. I don't think we're not seeing a new category, but we're seeing some strong product, I think, this year in standard categories. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. Well, our next show will be April 2nd, the day after April Fool's Day, which is always a very good day for myself. Anyway, we will be talking about the Gamma Trade show and the news from there. We'll also be focusing on RPGs this time around.
That's right. You get to hear Rhett and I pontificate on yet another area of the game industry.
Well, that's it for this show. I'm Rhett Kipp.
And I'm Ben Clark. And next time you hear us, you can pretend that we're just getting back from...